2 Kings chapter number 22, very quickly. 2 Kings chapter number 22. I realize what time it is. My stomach's growling. That works in your favor. But he said preach, so I'm going to preach for a few minutes. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 22. It's always good to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to come. I was thinking a while ago, Sister April, she ain't in here now, but you can pass the word along. She came over and shook mine and Stormy's hand a while ago. And first time I ever came up here, Brother Squiggy, I guess it was about 14 years ago. I was sitting over there and she walked up to me. She said, "You can't sit here. This is reserved for the choir." I thought, dude, I'm like the guest preacher. She didn't care. Didn't matter to her. I'm still a little bitter about that. I ain't quite got over it. All right, 2 Kings chapter number 22, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bosketh, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king." I'm going to stop right there, but if you know your history here in the Bible, Judah is in a very backslidden time. They're full of apostasy. They've gotten away from God. And I mean, it's been a rough time. They had a reign of Manasseh there in chapter 21, said he reigned for 55 years and did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. That'd be like about the modern day equivalent to 55 years of Obama.
Yeah.
God help us. Amen. Amon comes along a little later and he reigned for 2 years and he did that which was evil. But then finally in chapter number 22, we come to a young man named Josiah, just a young man, 8 years old. But he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And one of the things that he wanted to do, he wanted to restore or repair the temple. And in their repairs, they found the book. When they found the book, amen, business picked up, amen. I want to preach this morning for just a few minutes on thank God for the book. I'm glad this morning that we've got the book. Amen. Let's pray and I'll give you the message today the Lord's put on our heart. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost blowing in here this morning and stirring our hearts and just reminding us once again how good you are and how thankful we should be. Help us now for just a few moments to preach your word faithfully. Help us to be a blessing to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you this morning, brother and sister. I'm glad we got a book.
Amen.
I'm saved this morning because of a book. I get strengthened from the book. I'm sustained today from this book. And could I just go on record and say, I'm satisfied today with the book. I'm not looking for another. And amen. We got it. Hallelujah. I'm glad today for the book. Churches today and Christians today, they're getting away from the Word of God. They're putting all the emphasis on other things, it seems like, and we just need to get back to the book. It'll still get the job done. It's good enough for Grandma and Grandpa. It was good enough, amen, for the New Testament church back there in Acts, and it's still good today. Amen. I see here, just by way of introduction, the recovery of the book. The Bible said there in verse number 8, they said, I have found the book. God, give us some preachers and some churches that'll get back to the book, get back to preaching and proclaiming the Word of God. We don't need anything else. We don't need, amen, philosophy and psychology.
That's right. Amen.
I go to some of these meetings and I hear preachers preach. I feel like I ought to be laying on a couch, you know, paying $20 an hour, amen, for therapy or something. I just preach the book. Amen. Just give it to me straight up. It'll work. Not only the recovery of the book, we see the reading of the book. There in verse number 8, it said, and Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it.
Yeah.
Now, time out right there.
Amen.
Come on. Don't come up to me beating your chest talking about I'm a King James Bible believer and I go to a King James Bible believing Baptist church and we love Dr. Peter S. Rutman. We're Bible believers, but then you don't ever read it. Don't go to work and argue with them or at the family reunion because they're reading out of another version or using another version or go to a church that preaches another version, but you don't even read the one you got. You got the right one, but you never read it. All right, you should have shouted about 10 minutes ago when during the singing, amen. You missed your chance, hallelujah. I'm saying we ought to be people not only that believe the book, but read the book. And if you read the book, I think you'll believe it. But then notice this. This is important. In verse number 11, we see a response to the book. It said, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, watch this, that he rent his clothes. It's not enough to have it. It's not enough just to read it or to hear it preached. But brother and sister, we need a response to the book. People all across America today will fill up churches and in just a little bit, they'll leave out and they'll say things like this. Boy, we heard some good preaching today. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the preacher, he laid it out straight today. But are you going to do anything with it?
Amen.
Just a few quick things about the book and we'll go eat about it. Amen. Number one, the book brings revival. We're going to have revival in our churches in these days. It'll still come through the preaching of the Word of God. God has always chosen preaching as the avenue for revival. Amen. The greatest revival Judah had ever known came in chapter number 23. They found the book in chapter 22. Revival came in chapter number 23. I'm talking about business picked up. Amen. Around the kingdom when they got the book out. And it'll still work today. The greatest revivals in church history have always come through the preaching of the book. The Great Awakenings, the Reformation, the revival at Sandy Creek took your preacher down there, down by my house, back in the 1700s. God swept through there, and it came through the preaching of the book.
Amen.
Revival has never come through gospel singings.
Yeah. Amen.
I like good gospel singing. Amen. I mean, you can even throw in a little George Jones if you want to. I may like that a little bit. Don't stone me yet, amen. Some of y'all perked up right there. But I like gospel singing. I like songs that bring honor and glory to God. And good music and good singing, it'll even help a meeting. I think it'll help revival. But if revival's going to come, it's going to come when the book is preached. It's not coming through performances and dramas and productions. And it's not coming through dinner on the ground. Hey, I like dinner on the ground and fellowship, but that ain't where revival's coming from. It's not coming through seminars and cell groups. It's going to come through the preaching of the book. It's not coming through personalities. We get hung up on, well, this is my favorite preacher. I only like him. And don't even know, we all got our favorites. Man, Earl Hughes was my hero. All right, but Earl Hughes is gone.
Yep.
But I'm glad old-time preaching didn't die with Earl Hughes.
Amen.
Amen. It's not about personality. We get so hung up on that.
Yep.
Well, I'll keep the nursery during the second preacher because I don't like him as much as the first preacher.
Yep.
You're carnal.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. You're right.
That's it.
You're a spiritual baby. Amen.
Yep.
It may be that preacher that you don't care much for that has exactly what you need if it's coming from the book. You get over in the mountains of western North Carolina and East Tennessee, they don't think you're preaching unless you're hacking a little bit. And I've heard some of them old boys get up and, I mean, you know, hack for an hour. I mean, sweat through three layers of clothes. Their voice is gone when they're done, and they ain't said ne'er a thing. Nothing. All right, but on the other hand, over the years, I've heard Harry Nix get up, and I mean, just in 30 minutes, I mean, hack and hack and hack, but preach the glory
down.
That's
right. Yeah. Amen.
God can use them old preachers if you got something to say from the book.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's not about how loud you get, how animated you get. Amen. It's not about how intellectual you sound. It's about the book.
Amen.
That's the only way it's going to come. No other book has ever brought revival.
Amen.
It ain't ever come through a math book or a science book or an English book. It ain't ever come from a cookbook.
That's right.
It's come close a few times. Amen. It ain't ever come through your commentaries. And I'm not against commentaries. Don't go out of here saying that.
Amen.
But revival, hey, I'm going to say something real deep here. You might want to write it down. It's going to be real deep. You ready? You got your pen ready? Revival has never come through a Peter Ruckman commentary.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Some of y'all are looking. Some of y'all are ready to stone me to death right now. Amen. I appreciate his ministry. I appreciate what God has showed him.
Yeah.
Amen. But revival's coming through this book right here.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with other good books, but don't you put the preeminence on those other books. It's on this book.
Right.
Hey, look here. I'll lose some of you right here, but it's all right. I don't need Michael Pearl or Bill Gothard to raise my kids.
Right.
I got the book of Proverbs. Amen. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. My dad loved that verse. I mean, I think that was his life verse. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't have to watch the Duggars to know how to raise my family.
Amen.
I believe some fundamentalists, I mean, it's like their devotion is, come on, kids, let's watch the Duggars. Did y'all take up my offering yet? Maybe you should have done that already. I don't know. I'm just saying it's in the book. Amen. Glory to God. The book, it brings revival. The book brings repentance. It said there in chapter 23 in verse number 3, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. This book will bring repentance, brother and sister.
That's right. That's right.
And that's why they don't want it in our churches anymore. Because this old King James Bible, when it's preached faithfully and fervently, when a preacher will get up filled with the Spirit of God and
Amen.
Preach the Word of God, it'll bring repentance.
Amen.
And people nowadays don't want to repent.
Amen.
They don't want to get their toes stepped on.
Yeah.
They don't want a preacher to call sin, sin.
That's right.
And so they'll get mad, Brother Ryman. I mean, he'll get up and preach. He'll lay it out straight. And it's because he loves you.
Yeah.
He ain't trying to hurt you. He ain't got a mean spirit.
Amen.
He's just trying to help you.
Yeah.
But you'll get your feelings hurt. Well, I don't know why he had to deal with that. That's so old-fashioned and archaic. I don't know. We'll go find us another church.
Yeah, come on, help
us. We'll go find a church that'll be just a little smoother, a little bit easier, you know, not so hard. God help us. Amen.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to rebuke me. Nobody, yeah, because you didn't get enough whoopings growing up. Amen. So you, I mean, the preacher ain't going to tell you what to do. I'll tell you this book, it'll bring repentance. Amen. Well, I just want to feel good when I come to church. I want to feel good. Get right with God, you'll feel real good. It feels real good to hit an altar, amen, and get your sins under the blood and get forgiveness. It's a good feeling.
Amen.
Oh, but we bought into this TV preacher mentality. We just want it smooth and easy and smile a lot. I should probably smile more. Y'all pray for me. But this book, I'm telling you, it'll bring repentance. It's not time. It's not time to change, trade in, and get a newer version that's easier on our sin. Amen. We just need to get clean with God. The book will bring rededication. You'll notice at the end of verse number 3, notice that last line there. It said, and all the people stood to the covenant. Y'all see that? That don't mean they stood to their feet. It means the king said, here's an issue. We're going to take a stand on this issue. And all the people, amen. In other words, they said, amen, king, we're with you.
Amen.
We're going to, I mean, all the people, the Bible said.
Amen.
All of them. Brother Hyman, could you imagine preaching a message and all the people,
right.
All of them,
yeah.
Said, amen, preacher, we're with you. I can think of maybe two times in 15 years of ministry that I've seen it where the whole congregation came to the altar.
Yep.
And it's not I'm a great preacher or anything like that. I know better than that. But I'm saying when the book is preached, it merits a response.
Yeah.
We need some people that'll get dedicated and take a stand.
Amen.
For truth.
Yep.
For righteousness. Amen. This book will bring rededication.
Amen.
The book brings reformation.
Yeah. Amen.
It'll bring about a change.
That's right.
You can't get in this book and this book get down into you without it changing you.
That's right.
It will change your life. If you read, I won't read all the verses for time's sake, but you read chapter number 23, they changed some things.
Right.
I mean, they went through, brother and sister, they cleaned house.
Yep.
They got down to business. I'll give you just a few of them, though. Notice verse number 7, chapter 23, verse 7. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They said, hey, y'all got to go.
Right.
They said, we got this book, and this book says that what y'all are doing, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Y'all
got to
go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Now, I know where I'm at. I'm watching some of you rednecks right now. We ain't above the Mason-Dixon line yet. Some of y'all are like, let's go tear their house. No, don't go. I mean, let's get our pitchfork right. We can't do that. I tell you what we can do. We can get back on our knees in prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. We can get our voice back, get a boldness back. Amen. Amen. And take a stand once again.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
They said, y'all got to go. They said, Bruce Jenner, you got to go.
Yeah.
Caitlin, whoever you are, you got to go.
Yeah.
I just thought with that one right there, I mean, I've been wondering for like 6 months now, ever since all that change took place. Talk about a reformation. I just want to know, does he get a Mother's Day card or does he get a Father's Day card? All right, let's move on. If you didn't like that, you won't like this one. Look at verse number 14. And he break in pieces the images. Said, all right, those wicked images got to go. They got to go, we got a book. And amen, if we're going to run the Sodomites out, well, we better go ahead and take care of these images as well.
That's right.
Amen. And look here, I never have been one to really preach against television. I got too many and too big ones to, you know, preach against it. I mean, I hear preachers preach against television. I get under conviction. I go home and get rid of one of mine. Some of y'all get that about lunchtime.
Yeah.
I tell you this, though, I wouldn't argue with a preacher that did preach against it.
Amen.
Might do us good to break some images. Look at verse 24. I'll give you another one here. It said, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem did Josiah put away. Those familiar spirits and the wizards, he said, hey, y'all got to go. Witches, y'all got to go.
Yeah.
Amen. Wizards, Harry Potter, you got to go, buddy.
Yeah.
Man, Brother Ziggy, Squiggy, I started preaching this a while back on Harry Potter. I ain't preached against Harry Potter in over a decade. And I thought, man, nobody even remembers Harry Potter. And then lo and behold, I read just like a week or two ago, they're coming out with a new book. So I'm on point. Amen. He said, y'all got to go.
Amen.
You bunch of psychics and tarot card readers, y'all got to go.
Amen.
I dated a psychic one time. She broke up with me before we met. This book, brother, sister, this book, it'll bring about a change, and it'll be the right kind of change.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
One more, and I'm done this morning. The book, I like this, the book, it brings remembrance. It'll remind you and me of some things that we desperately need, that we don't need to forget. You'll notice back up in verse 21, chapter 23, verse 21, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God as it is written in the book of this covenant. The king said, hey, y'all been reading this book. This book talks about this sacred ceremony that our forefathers thought a lot of. We need to keep this ceremony, this Passover. He was reminded that because of the book. And this book, this precious King James Bible, it reminds me of things that are very important to me. That I can get so distracted by everything going on in the world. I can get so distracted and get off focus. But this book will bring me back to remembrance. This book reminds me of the price that he paid for my sin.
Amen.
I don't ever want to get over what Jesus did at Calvary to pay for the wages of sin is death.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Every one of us deserve to die. We should die. Amen.
Yeah.
But the gift of God The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't ever want to get over the fact that I should have hung on Calvary. I should have died there that day. But Jesus Christ took my sins, and he took your sins and the sins of the whole world. Amen. And he let them nail him to that old rugged cross and plait a crown of thorns upon his head. He let him drive a spear through his side, and he shed that precious blood to pay that sin debt that you and I could never pay. He did that for you, and he did that for me. I don't want to get over that today.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about y'all today, but I'm feeling pretty good about the fact that I ought to be in hell. I'm feeling pretty good about the fact that I should be in hell. I deserve to be in hell. But because of Jesus and because of Calvary and because of the blood, I'll never feel the flames. I'll never smell the smoke. I'll never hear the screams. But I'm going to enjoy eternity in a place called heaven. Hallelujah. That book reminds me of that. Amen. It reminds me of the pit that he brought me out of. Y'all remember the pit God dug you out of? Some of you is a pit of drunkenness, some a pit of dope, bad relationships, some of you. If you're like me, it was religion without God. But God came by one day. Mom and Dad couldn't get me out of the pit. I couldn't get myself out of the pit. The preacher and the youth director couldn't get me out of the pit. Only Jesus could get the job done. I was thinking, you know, a lot of people will come by the pit. The Jehovah's Witness, they'll come by and they'll throw some Watchtower literature down in the pit. They'll tell you to read your way out. The Seventh-day Adventist will throw the law into the pit and tell you to work your way out. The Church of Christ, they'll throw a little bit of water into the pit and tell you to swim your way out. The Catholics will throw a priest down there and tell you to confess your way out. The Mormons, they'll come by and they'll throw a bicycle down in the pit and they'll tell you to pedal your way out. Amen. Joel Osteen, he'll throw a positive thought down there and he'll tell you to smile your way out. The Muslims will throw a bomb down in the pit and tell you to blow your way out. But hey, I'm glad when I was in the pit, it was Jesus that came by, reached down further than I could ever reach up, got me out of the pit, delivered me from that old pit, that old muck and mire, that old dirty life. Amen. That book reminds me of where he brought me from, but it reminds me of the place that he's gone to prepare. Aren't y'all glad there's so much more than what we see here? Aren't you glad there's a better life waiting? I get so sick and tired, amen, of hearing about Planned Parenthood and the sodomite movement and gay pride. I get so sick and tired of all that. I'm so sick and tired of Obama. I don't care. I mean, if you voted for him, God help, we'll have an invitation. You can get right with God. Amen. But I get so sick. I'm so sick and tired of politics and politicians, all of them. All of them. They said, would you vote for Trump? I'm voting for whoever's running against Hillary. I'll just tell you that right now. Amen. I mean, if like Ernest T. Bass runs against Hillary, I'm voting for Ernest T. Bass. Amen. Amen. That'd be a fun State of the Union address. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this currently scheduled broadcast for the President of the United States. Howdy do to you and you. It's me. It's Ernest T. That'd be fun. I'd take that over what we got now. I'm so tired of hearing about ISIS and the peaceful religion of Islam. I'm tired of it. But I'm glad one day this book tells me that old ship of Zion, she's going to drop anchor. We're going to step off onto the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. Hallelujah. We're going to see Jesus face to face. Amen. Live forevermore in his presence and our loved ones that have gone on before. Hey, man, I'm glad. It's going to be a good day. And don't get too discouraged. I know we're in some dark days. You know, the darker it gets, it means we're closer to his coming. Amen. I tell you this and I'm done. I heard about this preacher. He's out preaching on the street one day. That's a good thing to do sometimes, amen. Tell people about the Lord. And he's out there preaching and an old street bum walked right up to him. He said, hey man, can I have your Bible? That preacher said, why in the world do you want my Bible? Are you going to read it? He said, no, I'm going to tear them pages out and I'm going to roll them up and I'm going to smoke a joint and get high. The preacher's like, you can't have my Bible. He's like, all right. Well, he started to walk away, and that preacher said, hey, hold on just a second. He said, I make a deal with you. You promise me that before you smoke a page out of that Bible, you read it first. That old bum said, all right, man, whatever. He took that Bible. About 3 years later, that preacher was walking through that same town and came to that same street corner, and here's a guy waving a Bible, shouting, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And that preacher walked up to him. He said, you're that old street bum. You're that guy. I gave you a Bible about 3 or 4 years ago. And that fellow said, you're the preacher. You gave me that Bible. Oh, man, what a blessing. I'm glad I get to see you again. That preacher said, "What, man, what happened to you? He said, I got saved and God called me to preach. Amen. The preacher said, well, tell me a little bit. He said, well, I did what you told me to do. He said, I took that Bible home. And he said, I tore out the first page of Matthew and I rolled it up and I was going to smoke it. And I thought, well, I did promise that preacher I'd read it. He said, so I unrolled it and I began to read that page. And I did that. He said, and I smoked Matthew and I got high. He said, I smoked Mark and I got high. I smoked Luke and I got high, but I got to John and John smoked me and I've been high ever since. Hallelujah. I'm saying that's the power of the book. Thank God for this blessed old book that we've got. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Earl said it like this. I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible, the light on my pathway to shine. It keeps me so happy. Always so happy. God's wonderful book, divine. Hey, y'all, it'll still get the job done.
Amen.
We just need to be a people of the book. It's not time to change. Just stay with the book.
Amen.
God honors his word. Amen. And he'll honor this church as long as it stands and preaches the book. As we stand this morning, here's the invitation. If you're lost, you need to get saved.
Yeah.
Most important thing you can do this morning is call on Jesus. He'll save you today. Secondly, today, if you haven't been treating the book like you should, be a good day to re-up, recommit.
Amen.
Tell God you're sorry that you haven't appreciated it like you should. Amen. That response, the Lord's dealing with your heart, you need to respond. And then thirdly, maybe this morning, you just want to fall on an altar and say, thank you, Lord, that we got this precious book, this blessed old book. Aren't you glad for the Word of God today? Lord, we love you. I pray you bless the time of invitation now. Thank you for Brother Ryman being my friend all these years in this church. And I just appreciate their faithfulness. And I pray you'll continue to bless them. Lord, save that soul this morning that's nearest to hell. And God, help us to treasure this precious, precious book you've given us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Some have come this morning. You mind the Lord as Brother Jesse plays? The Lord spoke to your heart. You just do business with him. Just a simple reminder this morning. Just a simple reminder of what a treasure we have in the Word of God. Amen. Thank God for the book.
Need to come this morning. Come on. The Bible says in verse 25 or 23 of 2 Kings, like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might.